the storm and the calm of the sea. You're never out of reach. God, you know where I've been. You were there with me then. You were faithful before. You'll be faithful again. I'm holding your hand. There's a raging sea.
Hey, welcome everybody. We're going to start things a little bit different today. We're going to go with the three worship songs, get you rolling here this morning, and then go into announcements and offering from there. So if you want to still get some coffee and enjoy each other's company, that's fine. If you want to sing along and worship with us, that'd be awesome too. I'm going to start with something called In the Hands of God.
Thank you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see.
Thank you.
back out, and you can't wait for that day. Hey, glad to see you here. Why don't you greet somebody next to you this morning? Glad to see you here.
It's going to be distracting. It will fall away.
Good morning. Nice to see all of you. We got rain. That's pretty exciting. I do have a little story with that. The rain went on for a couple days here, and last night, if you don't know, I like to fish. I just picked up recently with my son and a few others bow fishing. And so my son looked at me yesterday and said, hey, tomorrow looks like we can actually go to the lake, because if it's a little windy, we'll go down to the dredge cuts, you know. And he's like, this looks like a lake day, and we haven't been out in a while. And so, like 6:30, we made it to the lake, started going around, and of course, like, I'm way better at shooting than the other two gentlemen that were with me, but we got a few, and then I just have a trolling motor. My main motor on my boat doesn't work, and so we just go along, and there's a lot of shoreline until you get over to the dam from the marina. And so we're almost to the dam. We're going around the last peninsula, and praise the Lord, it started raining. And I don't mean like the nice little drizzle. I mean what we've been praying for to happen like months ago at 9 o'clock at night in 45 degree weather happened. And I don't have a main motor. I have a trolling motor. And so to go the whole mile at a mile and a half an hour back with two gentlemen at night on the lake, thankfully, it wasn't windy. And so that's my story about rain. Thank the Lord we got rain. Just please don't get caught on it on the lake. I do want to share a few things out of the bulletin. So if you got one, you can open it up. And look, on the left side, we have things that go on every week here. And on the right side, we have special announcements that we have. And that left side has filled up, right? Like you can't even read all of it. So I want to highlight a couple of them. On Tuesdays, Munchkins and Me, 9 to 11. Everybody's welcome as long as you bring a kid. You have to have a kid. Don't just come and play on the toys. Like, bring a kid with you. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, daycare providers, doesn't matter. Come chill out for a couple hours, and it's a fantastic time. Life Changers is also Tuesday at 7 p.m. If there's some things that you need healing from, that you need to work through, definitely addictions and things like that, you can talk to Rob, the bald guy in the front row over here, and don't text him. His number's in here. Don't text him. He doesn't get those. So call him or come talk to him. And then the last one I wanted to point out was Route 456 on Thursdays. That's for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders right here, run by Terry. If you want to... any more questions about that, you can definitely talk to Seth and I or Terry after the service and encourage 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. Maybe you have some neighbors that you want to reach and you want to give them a ride up here or whatever. It's a great program. So those are the ones that I wanted to highlight there. I think that's good.
Yeah. Hey, are there any other announcements this morning before I throw mine at you? How's that sound?
Mary Christensen, and I just wanted to remind the ladies that right after church, we're going to have a short meeting for anyone that's interested in helping with the ladies' Christmas program in any way. Please stop in the dining room, and it'll be a short meeting. Thank you.
Awesome. Is it working?
baby shower for Kyla Burns Friday. Information at the back info center.
Good job. Hey, I have two things for you guys. If you'll notice, right in front of the front pocket of you guys is a 3x5 card. Hey, we're doing this every week. It's starting to be pretty phenomenal for us pastors and the prayer team. I forgot to give the prayer team some stuff today, but every week we've been getting a stack of prayer requests from you guys that we just pray over all week long. And so this is what we're doing for you guys. If you'll grab that out right there, this is our way to be able to pray for you during the week, but also that is a way for us to get your contact information updated. We're trying to get to be a place where we just are managing better our addresses. And so if you would fill that out, if you haven't been here for a little bit and hey, I need to refill that out, that's awesome. So on one side, this is what I'd love you to do. Just re-up your information if you haven't done that for us. And the second one is that would you just take the time to put a prayer request on the back of that? And so start writing, it doesn't really matter. Pray for my dog, pray for rain. I mean, absolutely everything. I mean, we have a gamut from this week, a kid, just precious, saying, hey, I just need help better being obedient to my parents, right? And then we have an adult that just says, I need to find time to connect with God this week. And so, I mean, we've been praying everything in between. And so we love those. And so what I'm asking you to do is please fill those out for us. And then as the offering basket goes by, would you just place it in the offering basket? If you think about one later on, you're like, oh, I would definitely love prayer for this. Would you be willing just to fill that out at any time during the service? And then as you leave, there's a box on the information center back there that you just drop it into the slot that's there, and we would love to pray for you during the week. And so, hey, every week we're just hoping, that we have hundreds of them because we all know that prayer works.
And we have had massive stacks of them, and it's been awesome to, as a staff, we split them into three, and we actually, the ones that weren't just designated pastor only, we brought to the church council meeting we had on Monday, and the whole council prayed for all of them, and so it's been really awesome. I don't know if you guys have seen answer to prayer, but we, I know, have been worked on it, just praying for everybody here, and so please, by all means, fill them out.
So that's on really that, awesome. You can literally, hey, pastor's eyes only, or please share with everybody. And we've been praying all week long, so please do that for us.
If you don't write anything on there, we're just going to share with everybody.
Yeah, we just share it. Yep.
And so, yeah, if you don't want to share it with everybody, make sure you let us know.
Yeah. And the last thing I have is a couple months ago, you guys know that our church kind of, we had a meeting to discuss hiring a new person here at our church, and some things have kind of just worked itself out this last six months.
Yeah.
It seems crazy, but kind of at the same time that we said, hey, we would hire this new position, we also lost our secretary at the same time. And so it was kind of one of those things where I was really stubborn this summer, and I said, I got this. I can handle it all. And some things we've been just noticing are falling through the cracks as we get into the fall. And so the council and the staff members kind of got together and said, here's the deal. What are we most missing the most in our church in terms of people we have hired here? And definitely one of the biggest things was, hey, we have to get a secretary in that spot. And so we started thinking, well, hey, nobody's come in and looked at this other job description of campus coordinator that we had going on because it was really, it was a rather large job description with
hefty managerial
and advertising. And so what we decided to do is, what if we actually made kind of a secretarial job on steroids? Good way to put it, right? And so what we've been doing is as a church staff and the council and the pastor parish, have actually put a new job description out for a secretary that actually takes some of the campus coordinator position. And so basically, what we did was we took a lot of things that we loved from the campus coordinator position and put it into a secretary job description and put both of them together. And so now, this is what we need from you guys, okay? We need you guys to be willing to look at the job description and start praying for people who could fill this role. It's once again actually a pretty hefty job description as well, but what we're just trying to do is fill in some of the gaps. And let me tell you where we think that we need to work on as a church. One of them is kind of our church management system. We feel like we allow a lot of people to fall through the cracks, meaning, man, we don't always have all their information, or when we do need to communicate with them, we can't communicate with them well. Or hey, what if we had one central place where we had all of our volunteers, where we could send out a simple mass text message to everybody? Or hey, what if we need to just communicate better? And so that's one of the big things that we have on that job description, as well as taking care of this building. If you don't know, I mean, this building gets used absolutely every single day. And so what we just do is need to have somebody has better checks and balances of it. And so that person is just going to be literally a campus coordinator. That means people inside and the building, and just getting all the information that we need out. And so we need you guys to start praying about it. We believe that this position can be filled inside our church. There's got to be somebody around that can look at this and go, that is me. And so if you would at least start praying about this, this would be great. These job descriptions will be back on the Info Center. If you want one, just grab one. We will also be sending out an email this week that actually has the attachment for this job description. So please start praying for that for me. Do you have anything that I missed?
I think God has a weird way of acting in our hearts, and sometimes we don't recognize that. And so what I really want to say is, you might be in a job right now, and God might be asking you to do this, but you are stifling that because you're already secure and you already have a job and you're scared to change and you don't want to move things around. Or maybe your nephew or your cousin or your best friend or whatever it may be. Man, I think we're not doing our job as a ministry if we're not really asking people to step out in faith. And so we want a good work partner that is on fire for God and that can really help us take the next step in reaching more and more people in Glasgow and the surrounding area to the ends of the earth, amen? And so we really would like you to consider quitting your job and coming here. That's the best way I can say it. Turn in a 2 weeks notice. Make sure you don't just assume you're going to get the job. Please come talk to us. Let us pray about it. Let us work through it as a family. If you quit your job and then you're not hired here, I'm sorry. But that's the fear that we get, right? I get scared too. But I moved 4.5 hours away, all the way across the state to come be here a few years ago. And I know the amazing things God can do if you step up. That's what I've got to say.
Absolutely. Cool beans, good job. So Thanks. That's all the announcements that I have for you guys. And so, thanks, man.
I'm out of here.
Yeah. I love praying with you guys, just to let you know. I am not usually really good at praying. Right? But one of the things that I've found incredible in these moments is that look all around you right now. Just take a quick 360-degree view, right? Like all of you are saying in just a minute that we're in a church together, that we love each other, that we're concerned about each other, and that, hey, maybe we don't know everybody here, but one of the things is that we can be looking around going, man, God, would you bring us more into the one body that you're calling us to be so that we can make him famous? And so every Sunday, this is what I love to get to do. And as I take these cards that you guys have sent, I just get to pour over them and we get to pray together right now. Let's pray. God, you are mighty. You are powerful. You are our rock. You are our shelter. God, you give hope for the hopeless. You give strength to the weak. You fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we can do the things of your kingdom. God, we know without a shadow of a doubt that you're calling us to be disciples who are making disciples. That we have somebody in our minds who we want to allow to know you. And God, this week there are multiple people that are saying, I'm praying for the salvation of my friend, my coworker, my husband, my wife, my grandchildren, my sons, my daughters. And God, I would pray that we'd be attentive and that we would be seeing the open doors that you're giving us to be able to share the truth of who you are with others. And God, in the midst of us wanting to live in your kingdom and do your will, we also come into times where we fall down. We hurt ourselves emotionally, physically, spiritually. And God, I pray that you would go into every single one of those situations, whether it's physical hurts, God, that you would give patience to the healing process. That God, you would give courage to the pain that keeps going on and on. God, for those who have spiritually fallen, Lord, I just pray that they could see grace in you today, and that they would see forgiveness in you, and that they would turn their hearts towards you. And God, the emotional wrecks that we have this week and even today in this room, God, I pray that you would send a calming spirit. That God, we could see you for who you are, the truth in you, the freedom in you. God, all the things that are happening in this world, the disasters that are hitting us, the accidents that happened, the things that seem out of our control, Lord, I would just pray that we could trust you. And that, God, we wouldn't hold on to the things of this world, but we would hold on to the things of you. And that your way would be far better than ours. And so, God, today as we continue to worship you, Lord, would we give you our hearts? And Lord, would we cling to the old rugged cross where we find forgiveness, hope, and your glory? We pray this all in your name. Amen. Hey, I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward this morning and we'll take our tithes. And while we do that, we are starting something every third Sunday of the month. We're just going to be doing a special music. And so if you've got a talent that you feel like God wants you to share musically, what this is musical. Abilities, I can't even think right now. But hey, Doyle Yule is right over here. He's going to raise his hand quick. And he would love to get you on that list and so that you can help people see the glory of God through your abilities. Thanks.
Faithful Father, tender mercies like a river with no end. It overwhelms me. Covers my sin. Each time I come into your presence, I stand in wonder once again. Your grace still amazes me. Your love is still a mystery each day. I fall on
if you are 3 years old to third grade, you can head on out of here if you'd like. One of these days, I'm going to tell them to run, and we're going to see what Terry says. It's going to be phenomenal. Hey, if you get to hang out with me today and you have your Bibles, would you flip open to Luke for me, Luke chapter 4. Now, I figure that every week I should maybe share a fun little trick with you guys about the Bible that you may not know, because this book is pretty phenomenal. Okay, did you know that if you basically take your Bible, if you're having a hard time finding the stuff, if you just maybe possibly open your Bible to the middle, okay, if you hold it like this, hold it, you will always fall on Psalms, sometimes Proverbs. But, I mean, 90% of the times I fall on Psalms. Then, if you take this half of the Bible, okay, the New Testament, and you actually do that in half, you fall on usually Malachi or Matthew, which is quite phenomenal to me. So if you're ever having a hard time, like, hey, I need to find the New Testament, there's where you go, because I used to do one of these things. All right, let's start at the beginning. Here we go. You know, and so it's great to be able to. So Matthew, once you land on Matthew, go into Luke. Little known fact from the Bible salesman. All right. The last couple of weeks, actually last week we started in Luke. And we looked at the idea that what was the Holy Spirit saying about the gospel? How was the Holy Spirit sharing the gospel with us? And this week, last week we talked about the idea that Luke was meticulous in what he was writing. He was a great writer. He wanted to make sure that all of his stuff was proofed and that he could share well with us who this Jesus was. And if you at all maybe read this week with Luke, you kind of actually looked at chapter 3 in terms of the genealogy of Christ. There's only two genealogies of Christ that we see. Okay, Matthew, I'm going to bore some of you. You're like, we don't want to read names. I'm not going to read names. Okay, don't worry. But in Matthew, we look at the genealogy of Christ through his mother Mary. And how Jesus came from the line of David. And so Matthew was trying to prove, hey, the Messiah would come through the line of David and from the David's house, like the Old Testament talked about. And then Luke, it's phenomenal. Luke actually takes all the way from Jesus completely back to Adam and Eve. And so one of the things I thought, this is just a sideline, one of the things I thought is, what would it be like for you if you knew absolutely all of your grandparents? All the way back to Adam and Eve. Wouldn't that be phenomenal? Like Jesus would be like, yep, know them, right? Like, I mean, all the way across. And just thinking to myself, Adam and Eve, his lineage is from there. And here's where we start today. Is I want to start all the way back with Adam and Eve. Because one of the things, if you know something about your grandparents, you know that eventually, probably one of them is a bad apple. Right? Get it? Yeah, that was a really dry joke. Anyway, so back in Genesis, what do we know? That Jesus creates all of them, okay? With the Word of God, God creates everything that we see, everything that we be a part, that we're a part of, and he creates Adam and Eve. And then he tells them, he sets it all up, and he says this. He says, hey, you can eat from any tree of the garden that you would like to. Okay, not if you're starting to know this story a little bit, right? Okay. They set him in the garden. You can eat from any tree except for these trees right here, these two trees. And so what happens is the serpent comes and deceives them. And in fact, he says, well, what did God tell you would happen to you, Eve? And Eve says that if I ate from these, that I would die. And he said, no, you certainly will not die. You actually will know, you will be like God and know good and evil. There's this word in there that talks about no in the Hebrew language. I'm not a Hebrew guy, and I'm going to butcher it for those of you who can speak Hebrew. But the word is yada. And the word literally means not that you would know good and evil, okay? Not that you would be able to go, that's good and that's not evil. Actually, no. The word actually maybe goes a little further into the idea that you would actually start to distinguish or determine what you thought was good and evil. So literally, when he says that you will be like God, is what he's saying is if you eat this fruit, you will now be able to be your own determining factor on what you think good and evil is. Now, how many of us in this room would look at it and go, there are some things in our lives that we definitely say are good, right? And we definitely say these things are evil. And most of us would say, if it happens to us, that's evil, right? If a hurricane comes and destroys my house, I would say, can't believe this would happen. That's so bad and wrong. God, why'd you do that? There might be somebody who's cold-hearted like a Seth Runner and say, well, don't build your house in a hurricane plane, right? I would say something like that, correct? Like, and so like, or there's some of us like, we just automatically have these ideas of what is good and evil. And I think you have to remember something as we go through today, as we go through some of these things is, do you feel like you sometimes determine what's good and what's evil in your life? Because that is the mark of sin on our lives. If we're talking about the gospel, that's where the gospel has to start. Do you realize that most of the time you try to come up with, well, this is what I think is good and this is what I think is evil, and we don't really go back to this is what the scripture talks about? Because today we're going to see something that I think is incredibly interesting in terms of how Jesus views his life. And so in chapter 4, if you're still with me and you still have your finger on the Bible, we're going to read chapter 4, verses 1 through 2. And if you don't have your Bibles, they'll be up on the screen. And so let's read this together. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. That's incredible. We talked about that last week. Okay. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days. 40 days. Being tempted by the devil. Okay, this ain't just a one-time thing. This is 40 days being tempted by the devil. Just remember that, okay? And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, if you are hungry, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time and said to him, to you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered him, it is also written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him, it is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Would you pray with me? God, your word has the power to change hearts, to move nations, to create a body to love others, to show where we're missing, to show where we can change. And so, God, as we look at your word today, would it begin to stir in our hearts? Would you speak to each and every one of us through your Holy Spirit? Would we have a little bit more understanding today as we leave? In your name we pray, amen. I want to start with a question today, about the gospel. And if you'll open up your sermon notes, it's on the very back of your bulletin. But one of the first questions I want to ask you is this. Is the gospel changing you, or are you changing the gospel? Because if we're already to this point of we have to realize that our sin will always kind of take us to this idea that we want to determine what is good or what is evil, because we're already separated from God. I wonder if sometimes we look at our lives with God and we say, no, that can't be right. Or we try to change it to go ahead and match what we want it to so that we can feel better about what's going on, or possibly even use God for what we want instead of what he wants. And so today I just want to kind of unfold with you a little bit about what would our response be when we're tempted. Because I think Satan tempts Jesus in three ways that are completely human being, or completely what every human being has to deal with. And I think that once we grasp the idea of where the foundation of that temptation comes from, I think we can then start going, I've got this. I can maybe change the way I view this. And so the very first thing I want to talk to you about is this, is how is our response to temptation? And the first one, if you'll underline it, is, or if you'll fill it in, is this, is the Bible has an answer for that. If you look at the very first temptation, what happens? Jesus is in the desert for 40 days, and he doesn't eat a single thing. Okay, I don't know, it doesn't say he didn't drink anything, it just said he didn't eat anything. Doesn't matter. And at the very end of it, Satan says, hey, just change this rock into bread. Which I would look at as this, is that this is, at its most basic form, the idea that it is just the quick desire that us human beings have. All of us get hungry sometimes, right? Some of you, we get hungry and angry, right? Hangry. Ha! Which is a horrible, wrong thing. But like I think about all these things that are quick and emotional desires. Because why didn't Satan go, hey, Jesus, you're really cool. Why don't you just change that rock into gold and go buy yourself lunch? Right? Or, hey, why don't you just not just turn this thing into bread, but a lobster and steak dinner with twice-baked potatoes, green beans, and a roll to go with it. No, I mean, he's just really trying to get him at his basic form of going, hey, look at it. It's okay if you just want to use your own desires to do what you want to do. I think sometimes when we're in a situation, I think sometimes everything goes out the window when we forget that God has an answer for that. Some of us wake up in the morning and go, I don't feel in love with my spouse anymore. No, the Bible has an answer for that. It's called love is a choice. It's not a feeling, right? Or I don't feel like cleaning my room, which I have to do, by the way. But like all these different things that like is our quick emotions. Or I want what I want. You don't understand. This is what I want. Get it for me. What about the idea that our temporal pain, What about those of us who like just want to escape, and so what do? We just go, nope, I don't want to deal with it. I just want to get drunk. What about some of us who are like, well, here's the deal. If my wife isn't going to give me sex, then I'm just going to go look at pornography. And that's where the devil gets us right away. Yeah, you don't understand. You need what you need. You have to get it for yourself. I think sometimes we forget that these are just momentary things in our lives. We think that is so large in our mindset. I'll give you a perfect example that I think is just absolutely ridiculous in my life lately is yesterday, I got to do a funeral and a wedding yesterday. And while I did both of those, my football team, because I coached junior high football, was in Williston. And one of the things our head coach did was he knows the general manager of Buffalo Wild Wings. And so my team, after their game, got to go to Buffalo Wild Wings. If you know a little bit about Seth Runner also, not only do I like Chinese food, I also love Buffalo Wild Wings. And so the whole entire week, it was like, oh, I can't believe I'm missing Buffalo Wild Wings. And so at 6 o'clock in the morning yesterday when I showed up, I told the couple that I was marrying, I was like, man, I about cursed your wedding yesterday because not only did you make me have to stay here for the wedding, but also because I had to stay here for the wedding, I got chosen to do this funeral and I had to say yes because I was here. And then on top of it all, I'm missing Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, and my wife earlier said that was really, like, she had said, stop talking about Buffalo Wild Wings, right? You're being dumb, which I should have listened to her. But one of the things, and I was joking, of course, with them, but the guy that I was marrying yesterday just comes over and says, hey, I just want to let you know, thanks for marrying us. And I know you were just joking, but sometimes God has a purpose for everything. Maybe you need to be doing these things. Maybe you need to be able to go to the funeral and this wedding. Think of how God can use you through these things. I was like, wow, that's really cool. And it all stemmed from the problem that I was really worried what I was going to say at this funeral. And what I was really worried about what I was going to say at the wedding. And one of the things I think about is, what would it be like if we just looked at things as a momentary purpose? Like that moment when you know you're about to get angry and you sit there and go, is this going to help out anything in my relationship with this other person? Or is it just going to push us further away? There are some of you that do really well on this, that you're not moved quickly in the momentary things of life. Your quick desires might come, but you might be able to go, no, I don't need that. God's leading me in a different direction. Because the whole point, I think, that Jesus understands, and the reason why I brought in the genealogy is because of this. Is because Adam and Eve determined what was good for them. Jesus looks to God and says, what's your best for me right now? And the best for him, for Jesus, was this. And it was his awesome response. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What he's saying there is, you're trying to get me to live a completely temporal life by fixing and making this bread. I've already been 40 days. What's one more hour? I'm not going to give in to this. There are some of you who it has been momentary that you feel like you have not loved your wife for a really long time. Or felt love from your wife for a really long time. What would it take for you just to go, no, I'm not giving in to temptations. I'm not giving in to being pulled away. I'm going to go one step further. One more hour. God, would you help me to not live just by bread alone? The problem is most of us in this situation want our cake and eat it and want to eat it too, right? No, God, I want you to help me to have the strength, but I also don't want to live by your bread. the best way I can describe this, and I know I'm belaboring this, but I really want you to get the picture of this, because I want to tell you that the Bible has an answer for everything. But we always like to circumvent that, right? Imagine that there is a treadmill sitting right here. And me and Brian, because we talk about losing weight all the time, right? And we are going to create a study of the treadmill so that we can learn how to lose some weight. And every week, for 6 months, Brian and I come to the treadmill, and we know absolutely everything about the treadmill, right? What it can do, what the button functions are, how to plug it in, even how to like pull it down and like store it away, all that sort of stuff. And we never get on the treadmill. What good is that for us? Or what if I was to get on the treadmill and I start walking and I know every function there is, but I want to not just, I don't want to lose weight, I just want to feel good about losing weight, right? And so while I'm on the treadmill, I'm eating Twinkies all day long. I'm not doing what it was designed for. I'm completely circumventing the process by saying, no, this is what I want, so give it to me now. But I wonder if we started going, no, the Bible has an answer for that. And the first thing I think of is tons of places where the Bible says, have self-control in that certain circumstance. I mean, self-control is huge. But I want to go somewhere with you that I think will kind of finish this up. And it's Romans 14:17. And this is what it says. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of our temporal desires, but literally it's a matter of going, God, how can I be righteous? How can I have peace in this situation? And how can I share your joy always? Because I truly believe, and I'm telling you, that the Bible has an answer for that. Whatever you're going through right now, your temptation in your life, I'm telling you, the Bible has an answer for it. Seek it out, please. Search for it. And the second temptation that is thrown our way from Satan comes, and then here's the deal. I want you to remember this, is that God... Now, I know the grammar is not okay with this, but I really want this to get in your head, right? God is the greatest you could ever get. God is the greatest you could ever get. Satan comes to Jesus and he says, here's the deal. Look out, I'm going to show you all the kingdoms. And the funny thing is in that, if you'll look in that, piece of scripture, in verse 5 it says, and the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Which is crazy to me because things change, right? Things always are moving, and I think what he's getting to is, where it's at now, this is what I'll give you. It's incredibly, once again, just a temporal thing again. But, so Jesus and Satan are sitting there. And Jesus' response is, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The only time we come to a place of worship is realizing that it is the one that's worthy of worshiping. Because a lot of times we worship a lot of other things besides God. We worship our status. Hey, if only I could get this. If only this happens in my life. If this happens, then I can do this. But if you come from the point that God is the greatest you could ever get, nothing else matters. In fact, Matthew 13:44 says this. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I wonder what the kingdom of heaven is worth to you. Is it worth, once again, the momentary, I feel good about myself? Or is the kingdom of heaven not a realm or a place, but a rule or a reign? It's about Jesus saving the mercy and the reign of him in your life. I think sometimes we look at it and we want to create our own legacy. This is what Satan is trying to get him at, is going, here's your dreams, here's what you could have, here's what you could be. Now look at your legacy if you did this. People would praise you, people would tell you that you're doing awesome. You would have what you need and what you desire. I think the temptation for us is to run this wheel track of, hey, I've got to attain, I've got to do better. I have a question for you that's really been bugging me, that I've been asking a lot of people. I'm gonna say it to myself. Am I really more blessed than the kid that has to walk 3 hours to get water every day? Just because I have these things, and I consider myself, well, I'm really blessed. Really? Am I? Do I really understand what's going on? Because in this verse, this is what it means, that a guy finds a treasure in a field, he covers it up, right? And he says, he goes and he sells all that he has with joy and goes and buys the field. What it means is that when we see the kingdom of God and what it's actually about, it's our joy to give up everything we have for it. It is our joy to do everything we possibly can to be a part of it. Because the kingdom of heaven is manifested in power when demons and unbelief and unrighteousness are being defeated. And salvation and righteousness, peace and joy are happening. The problem is that most of the time, it's a hustle and bustle to get what we want once again. And in and of itself is literally the baseline self-preservation. See, the thing is I think this guy understands that the kingdom of heaven is worth worth giving up everything for. And then he's willing to work at it and work in this field to make it what it could be. What if you looked at it this way? What if your life was about forgiveness and fellowship in the Spirit and becoming more like Christ, using his gifts for the body of Christ? And that's not even the best part, because the best part is that later when Christ comes back, there's no more sinning, there's no more sickness, no more injuries, no more calamity, no more hurricanes, no more depression, no more spiritual warfare, no more racism, no more war, no more death. I wonder if that's worth giving up everything for. I don't wonder, I know. The man sold everything he had with joy, not reluctantly, as wasn't a best trade-off for him. Jesus is literally saying in this that his treasure is not in what this kingdom has, in what this world has to offer. I was in college, and I was going to class one day, and literally it was horribly cold outside. Just one of those days where it's like sleeting, wet rain, right? And I get into class, and I'm kind of a happy-go-lucky guy most of the time, just to let you know. And so I'm just kind of smiling and laughing, and literally, like, I don't know where it came from, but this girl across the way, our desks used to, like, face each other, some sociological reason, I guess, but facing each other, and this girl turns at me from the other way and goes, "Why are you so bleeping happy all the time?" And I looked at her, and I said, "What's not to be happy about?" And she just rattled off a whole bunch of things. And I said, "Well, obviously that's a choice then, to allow those things to get you down." There's another lady that John Piper tells this story of. A friend of his, she was sitting by her husband, who was in his final stages of cancer and about to die. And another cancer patient from across the room yells, "Why are you so bleeping happy all the time? Especially now." And this was her response. My husband deserves to go to hell. And because of Christ, in a few hours, my husband will be with God in heaven. Is that not worth rejoicing about?" The problem is that most of us look at it and go, "I wish that I could have all the kingdoms in the world. But because I can't, I'm going to be begrudging about it." And God says, "I'm offering you my kingdom. You can be in that. It will change your mind." Because I wonder if it's about glory. Is it about your glory or is it about God's glory? Because inevitably somebody in this room is going to get cancer, or right now has cancer. And one of the questions I have is, do we determine that that is absolutely horrible and that's wrong and that's evil of God? Or do we determine, nope, every single moment of every single time, God is the best that I can ever get and he gets the glory, not me. Because the last temptation happens, and it's this, that when we've decided all of those things and we know in our mind that we've solidified that the Bible has an answer for that, I can live life through the Bible and God is the best I could ever get, there's only one last thing that Satan has the ability to do to you and to make you doubt temptation-wise, and it's this. He'll make you doubt whether you can trust God or not. And I'm telling you, God can be trusted. The very last thing he said, just jump off this. I'm taking you to the pinnacle. Just jump off the temple, and here's the deal. God will save you. God says his angels will come before you and help you and not let your feet strike the ground. And in verse 12, Jesus says, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Why do you not put the Lord God to the test? Because I'm telling you, God can be trusted. Most of us, when we come to the point of going, "God, you're wrong," we're already back in Adam and Eve's time going, "No, we're determining what's right and what's wrong. And God, you're wrong. Why would you let all of this stuff happen? If God was a really good God, why would disasters happen? If God was a really good God, why does this happen?" Constantly says this. It says, "For the wages of sin is death." Going back to a couple weeks ago, we shouldn't be surprised. It doesn't surprise us. It's not about what I can get from God in this world. It's about where is my heart. But where is my basic foundation? Am I with God or am I not? Am I constantly saying, "God, I can't trust you in this situation, so I'm going to take it on in myself"? I truly believe that I think God makes things beautiful out of wrecks. We can sit here and we can be really mad that there's fires that are happening, that are going on. And I had this weird thought, and you can come up and yell at me later and get mad at me, but what do they say? Like something like this is never happened in 100 years or something, that this fire has happened or these floods. I have a question. What would happen if you left your bedroom alone for 100 years? Or you never cleaned it? Somebody would probably come in and say, "You just need to light this place on fire." Right? Like, and I'm not saying that that's what God was saying, but one of the things I think about is this. Like, man, I just cannot wait to someday look at that and go, man, God is still good. One of the things I love is my uncle is a professional photographer, and back in the 80s, do you guys remember when Yellowstone Park was on fire? And so they just let it burn. And one of the things they said that was phenomenal about that they didn't know would happen is all the new growth that would come about. And so my uncle takes these vividly green pictures of Yellowstone Park, and I just stare at them for hours because I think they're absolutely beautiful. But in the midst of the Yellowstone fire, what were we saying? Our beloved park, you can't let it burn. Gotta go help it. And I wonder if we trust God, what he does with miraculous things. And finally, I always end with a so what, and so I'm going to ask the worship band to come up, and we're going to close in worship, but here's what you can write on the bottom. So what about all of these things? I hope that when it comes to the quick and fleeting desires of our heart, that we would sit there and we would say, no, I'd rather have the things of Jesus. I'd rather look in the scriptures and go, what does it say about this thought that I have in my mind, or this want or this desire, or when I'm angry, when I'm lonely, confused, I'm not going to be swayed by temptations, but to look at the truth of the gospel and say, God, what is in here? Man, for me this week, Titus 2 just killed me. Go and read it. And then, so what, when it comes to Satan saying, but you don't have this, you're not going to be good enough if you don't have this. I don't want to leave a legacy of Seth Runner. I want to be about God's kingdom and bringing him glory. And I want to give everything I possibly can for that. Because Christ is asking every single one of us, go and share the gospel, the good news with people, sharing them what Christ has done for you so that you can show the goodness of who God is. So it becomes about his kingdom and definitely not mine. And I would gladly sell everything for it. And I hope that God starts working in my heart more and more to be wanting to do that. And the last thing that I would hope that we get from this is that God has got us no matter what situation we're in. It could be the most painful situation that we've ever gone through, but it is completely fleeting in terms of eternity. I want God to be in my life no matter what, and he is trustworthy. And I'm going to leave you with this, Romans 10, 22 through 24. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And so as we sing the songs today, literally the last two songs are all about who God is. They're all about how great God is. And I hope that you can worship with full hearts, knowing that God is a good God.
promises of God I'll find there. In Christ to work the Father's will below, that all who run to Him would find their rest.
Here's what's sticking out to me right now. Am I really as blessed as I think I am? we get confused. And sometimes when the rock turns into bread, it's not God. When we get everything we want, it's not because God's blessing us, it's because Satan is deceiving us. And when Seth said that, am I so blessed because I don't have to walk 3 hours to water? Is our God that mean? Is our God that mean? That because we have comfy chairs here and live in America, that we are blessed? I'm scared as to what our blessings are distracting us from. I'm motivated because I know what God can do through each and every one of us. I am so excited to know what God is going to do as we continue to take leaps and bounds for the gospel. As we're finding it more important to share Him than to get a raise, to share Him than our momentary comfort, or to build our legacy that He can bless us with. He's not that concerned about your comfort in this life as you think He is. He's definitely concerned about growing the most important muscle you have, and that's your soul. And sometimes growth hurts, and you get on the treadmill and you run. Even when you really want a Twinkie. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Let's pray. Let's do it, yeah.
Now I'm good. Oh, I just wanted to share something real quick with you guys. You probably know that my grandson Tobias was born, and it was on my 31st wedding anniversary. And I believe that God is good, because now a date that would normally, be full of sorrow and hurt for me is now a reason to be filled with joy and celebrate.
The most growth I've ever had in my relationship with God was when I decided to come to Him. And I lost my mom about 10 years ago and got into this habit of gambling and trying to momentarily fill whatever I thought I was supposed to do. And I know I came close to divorce. Why would we pray for comfort when the pain brings us so close to Him? And I'm not saying that the pain of you having a grandson, because that's beautiful. But He replaces it, and He promises so much more. Thank you for sharing. Let's pray. Lord, I don't want any day that we get with You and worship and share to be just a normal day. Lord, I pray that today is unique as You can make it in each one of our hearts, that You are speaking to each and every one of us. None of us have made it. We're still in this room, and we're still breathing, and You're still giving us Your spirit, Your breath. And so, Lord, there's a purpose for our growth and for our soul to grow, and I pray that we can all take it that seriously. Whatever You're working on in our lives, Lord, may You encourage us. Can You give us the strength? Can You give us Your faith? Can You give us Your grace and Your forgiveness and Your love to share with everyone? And I pray tomorrow we can ask the question of, Lord, what are You doing in me today? And Lord, we can actually take those steps with You. Not just say that it was a good message and it's a good lesson and boy, oh boy, I feel good about it. But Lord, we can move closer to You at any cost. I pray we take Your message seriously. Lord, thank You so much for the opportunity to share Your ministry. Lord, we love You. We leave all of our requests to the most level playing field there is, the foot of the cross. And all God's people said, amen.
this great unknown. Questions come and questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have been